Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss.
You may be right where God wants you. The desperate situation that you are facing may be what it was for Israel, and that is one of your greatest opportunities to witness and to display the great power of God.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Friday, August 1st, 2014. We'd all like to see God do big, dramatic things, but we don't want to be in the stressful situation that God tends to work in. One character from the Bible dramatically shows us the stress of life and the power of God. Life wasn't easy for him, which is why we consider him a hero. We're going to be studying the life of Joshua here in the summer and fall. Today we begin. Here's Nancy.
Well, we're starting into a new series on Revive Our Hearts today. I can't even tell you at this point for sure how long the series will be because I haven't finished developing it. But as is so often the case, the material that I teach on Revive Our Hearts is usually something that starts in my own personal quiet time, my own study that I'm doing. And for the last several months, I've been studying the life of Joshua. And it's been so rich to me, so encouraging, and I want to share that with you. Let me tell you how I started into that study and how this series actually began. It was several months ago that my pastor preached through the book of Joshua. And I was there for one of his last messages in that series where he was preaching on Joshua 23 and 24 as Joshua gave his farewell speeches to the nation of Israel just before Joshua died at the age of 110. And as I was reading those passages while the pastor was preaching, I thought, 110? That's old. Scripture says he was old. And yet he was still so full of fire in his heart, devotion for God, a desire to serve God. It's like his relationship with God was still fresh and young and vibrant. And I was just struck by this example of a servant of the Lord who finished well. So many don't finish well. And I wanted to know, how did Joshua get to the end of his life and still have this kind of heart? He was still being faithful, still going on with God. He wasn't disillusioned, still strong in his faith. How did he get to the end of his race at 110 years of age and be in that position? Now, I think probably the reason this question struck me as I looked at Joshua's life at that time was it hadn't been very long since our ministry, our board, had made the decision that Revive Our Hearts should go from the quarter-hour program that it had been for the first 5 years to a 25-minute program daily, nearly half hour. And at that point, I was feeling very overwhelmed. I agreed that it was, you know, the right decision, that we had gotten good counsel and we'd prayed about it, but I was struggling in the battle of how I was going to keep up with the changes. This involved more study, more recording, more teaching time, more coming up with new content. And I was at that point really not wanting to keep going. Now, I didn't want to end my life, but I wasn't sure I wanted to keep going in this longer format program. And I didn't know if I could keep going. At that point, this was early on, I felt like the stress and the strain of this change were taking me under. And you've been there, perhaps at different seasons and situations in your life. It's when you just had that third child and your oldest is only four, and you think, I don't think I can live till this oldest child is five. You know, it's going to take me under. And I found I wasn't experiencing the peace, the joy, the rest that I have at times in the past. And so as I looked at Joshua's end, the last chapters about his life, I felt impressed to embark on a study of the life and battles of this famous warrior, this champion, this faithful servant. And I wanted to look not just at the book of Joshua, but at the life of Joshua. So actually, I spent the first several months in Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy before I even got to the book of Joshua. We will get to the book of Joshua, but we're going to start back in the book of Exodus because that's where we first read about Joshua. And as I started studying, I went online and I found an online concordance and printed out a list of all the references to Joshua in the Bible. And I just started at the first one and went one by one. And I said, I want to know how this man did it. And the reason I want to know is I want the Lord to show me how I can be faithful in my calling all the way to the finish line. And so through this series, we're going to just look at snapshots out of the life of Joshua. And I hope it will be encouraging to you. You say, well, I'm not a warrior. I'm not in Christian ministry. I don't have a radio program like you do. Why would I need to study the life of this man? Well, you know, God has given you a race to run. God has given you a calling in life. You may be married, you may have children, you may be married without children, you may be single, you may be divorced or widowed, you may be out in the marketplace, you may be serving the Lord in various capacities, but God has given you some race to run. You may be young and you're saying, I have no idea what the race is that I'm supposed to run. Or you may be middle-aged or late middle-aged thinking, I think I'm tired of running this race. But regardless, I believe that you, like me, want to be faithful all the way to the finish line in doing and being whatever God has called you to do and to be. And I have found in the life of this servant of the Lord some real helpful insights that I think will help keep me faithful in the battle all the way to the finish line. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about some Old Testament illustrations, incidents in the lives of the Israelites. And it says, these things took place as examples for us. They were written down for our instruction. So when you read the story in the life of Joshua in Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the book of Joshua, and then the New Testament reference to him, remember, this is not just a biography you're reading that's just there for history's sake. It is important history, but it was written for our instruction. His life was given to us as an example, and there are things for each of us in whatever season of life we find ourselves in that we can learn from the life of Joshua. Now, today I'd like to start this series by giving a bit of an overview. I want to talk about what are some of the key takeaways from this study, because the study is going to go for a number of weeks, and I want to give you just the big picture of where we're headed. First of all, we're going to learn from Joshua's life some insights in relation to various seasons of life. We'll start with Joshua when he's a young man, and we'll walk with him until he is an old man. And there are differences about different seasons of life, and we'll get insights into those differences. Let me just overview some of the chapters and seasons of Joshua's life that we find in the scripture. When we start with Joshua, when we first meet him in the book of Exodus, we find him in his early years. In his early years, if I had to use one word to summarize what was happening during those years, it's that he was learning. He was a follower. He wasn't a leader for the most part at that point. He was a follower. And in that period of his life, he was learning to worship. He was learning to wait. He was learning to have a private life of integrity that would stand him in good stead when he became a public figure. He was laying a foundation for the rest of his life and service. These early years were not throwaway years. They were not frivolously spent. They were invested. They were intentional. And oh, I would just say to you younger women, let me encourage you to be intentional in your pursuit of God as young women. You're laying a foundation now for later years of your life. And now that I am, I don't know that I've ever actually called myself middle-aged before, but I certainly am. And I'm realizing how many things in my life today are the fruit of decisions and choices that I made as a younger woman. Now, by God's grace, I made some good choices. And I'm reaping some great benefits and blessings from those choices, from laying that foundation. But I also made some foolish choices. And I was not as intentional as I should have been in certain areas of my life. And those are areas that plague me to this day. Areas that are so much more difficult to deal with today than had I learned what God wanted to teach me in those areas when I was a younger woman. So Joshua, in his early years, was being prepared for his life work. He was putting down roots. He was developing a servant's heart. He wasn't taking shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity and victory. None. And we'll see that in this man's life. He was becoming a faithful man. He paid the price for the achievements that he was able to accomplish later in his life. Those are his early years. He was learning. He was a learner. Then we come to the point where Moses passed the baton to Joshua. Moses was the leader before Joshua, and we'll see that in these different passages we'll look at. And when it was Moses' time to be taken to be with the Lord, when it was his time to die, Moses passed the baton to this younger man. And not only did Moses pass it, but Joshua picked it up. There's a handoff in a relay race. Somebody carries the baton, then they put it into the hand of the next person. The next person has to make sure they have it securely in their hand before they run the next lap of the race. And we'll look at the passing and the receiving of that baton for Moses. And then we'll see Joshua in his later years. In his later years, we see him leading. We see him as a leader. In his early years, learning. In his later years, leading. In his later years, we see him as a warrior. We see him understanding warfare and being a faithful follower of the Lord as he had been as a young man, but also being a gifted leader of God's people. We see him in his later years having faith, having perseverance. We see a public man. We get glimpses into his private life, and he made some very important choices as a young man about his private life. But those are choices that actually were manifest in his public life when he became an older man. So we'll see him in his later years as a leader. And then there's another passing of the baton. This time, Joshua has the baton, and he is passing it on to the next generation before he dies. He wants to make sure that the truth is passed on intact from his generation to the next, and we'll look at that. And then we'll see Joshua in old age. And what's he doing in old age? He's leaving a legacy. Leaving a legacy. In his early years, learning. In his mature years, leading. And then his old age, not useless, but leaving a legacy. And these are the years of wisdom, the years of increased fruitfulness, the years of reward for his faithful service. And in fact, if there could be a one-phrase epitaph on Joshua's tombstone, I think it might be, servant of the Lord. Servant of the Lord, as had been his predecessor, Moses. So we're going to get insights into different seasons of life, and that's kind of an overview of the seasons of Joshua's life. And then that's going to give us insights into the seasons of our Christian life, our spiritual growth. And we're going to learn from the life of Joshua about spiritual warfare, about victory over our spiritual enemies, the process of spiritual growth and maturity. We'll learn about the importance of transferring faith from one generation to the next. And we'll learn insights about how to do that well. We'll learn what it takes to finish well. I was talking with one of our staff recently, and we were commenting on the fact that so few people in the Christian race finish well. I mean, some start, you know, gangbusters. They're up like a rocket, but they're down like a rock. And we've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. Our team, as a leadership team, we pray, Lord, let us finish well. We don't want to just run well now. We want to run well all the way to the finish line. And then throughout the study, we're going to see some wonderful pictures of the Lord Jesus. Picture of Christ. Joshua's name means Jehovah saves, or the Lord is salvation. And his name, Joshua, corresponds to the New Testament name of Jesus. Jesus, the Greek version of Joshua in the Hebrew. The Lord is salvation, and we're going to see that Christ is our Joshua. We're going to see that he is our Savior, and Joshua is a picture in some respects of Christ himself. Joshua was raised up to be a part of God's great plan of redemption and the deliverance for his people, and his life work would always serve to remind people that Jehovah saves. The Lord is salvation. There is no other means of deliverance apart from him. Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ, our great deliverer. As Jehovah delivered his people from their enemies under the leadership of his servant Joshua, so Jehovah delivers us from our enemies under the leadership of our Joshua, the Lord Jesus. Now, let me ask you to turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 17, and we want to take just a brief look at the first mention of Joshua's name in the Bible. Now, that principle of first mention is important as you're turning to Exodus chapter 17. When you see a word in the scripture and it's the first mention of that word in the scripture, that's often an important thing to notice. It gets you started on an understanding of how that word will be used through the scripture. If you go to the first three chapters of Genesis, you'll find a lot of concepts being mentioned for the first time. But in Exodus 17, we find the first mention of Joshua, the servant of the Lord. Now, to give you some context so we're not just jumping into this chapter, let me give you a very quick overview of the first 16 chapters of Exodus. Lickety-split, okay? Joshua was born where? In Egypt. He grew up in Egypt. He was a slave under Pharaoh. And in Exodus 1, we read about how Joshua and the children of Israel experienced the cruelty of the Egyptian taskmasters. And then in chapters 4 through 7 of Exodus, Joshua was there. He heard, he knew when Moses came to Egypt saying to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Joshua would have heard about the signs and the miracles that Moses performed in the name of I Am, Jehovah God. And then chapters 7 through 11 of Exodus, Joshua would have been there, though his name is not mentioned, when God sent the plagues of judgment against the gods of Egypt. He saw the power of God, the judgment of God against all false gods. And then in Exodus chapter 12, Joshua would have been there. He would have experienced how at God's instruction, his family, along with the other Jewish families, would have killed a lamb. And how they took some of the blood and put it on the lintel and the two doorposts of their house. And then they roasted and ate the sacrificial lamb. And then he would have been aware in the middle of the night when the angel of death that night went through Egypt. And Joshua would have heard the wails, the sobs coming from Egyptian homes where the angel of death had killed all the firstborn sons of those who didn't have the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts. And then he would have been very aware that the angel of death had passed over not only his own home, but all the other homes that had blood on the doorposts. Joshua experienced that. He experienced also in Exodus chapter 12 how with 2 to 3 million other Jews, they escaped from Egypt in the middle of the night. Pharaoh said, "Go, go, go." The people said, the Egyptians said, "Get out of here." And Joshua went with Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then in Exodus 13, Joshua would have been there and would have seen firsthand the presence of God in the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, leading his people. Now remember, Joshua was going to become a leader. But how could he ever forget who the real leader was? He had seen God lead his people with his very presence. He was there. Exodus chapter 14, Joshua saw Moses lift his rod over the waters of that Red Sea when they were hopelessly trapped there with the Egyptian army breathing down their neck and coming after them in hot pursuit, mountains on one side, mountains on the other side, and this Red Sea in front of them. And Joshua would have seen Moses lift his rod and put it over the waters and how God miraculously pushed back the waters of the Red Sea. Joshua was one who was there. He experienced it along with the other Israelites. And then he stood on the other side and watched as Moses lifted up his rod again, and those waters came crashing in to destroy God's enemies, the Egyptian army. Exodus chapter 15, they're on the other side of the Red Sea. Joshua saw God turn bitter waters into sweet waters. He saw God provide miraculously. He saw God send bread from heaven, manna, when the people had nothing to eat. And when Joshua took the people into the promised land, do you think he could have forgotten? God has led his people. God has provided for his people. God has protected his people. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. He was remembering. He was noticing. He was observing. He was learning about the ways of God as a young man. And then in Exodus 17, the first part of that chapter, the first 7 verses, the Israelites came to a place where there was no water. Water is one of life's most basic necessities. And the congregation got upset with Moses and upset with God, and they questioned God's presence. Is the Lord among us or not? And then Joshua saw as God miraculously met their need, and he demonstrated his presence and his power by giving water from a rock. a rock as Moses, at God's command, struck that rock with his rod and the water came pouring forth. Now, in the next paragraph, beginning at verse 8, we find the first mention of Joshua's name. And at this point, by the way, his name is actually Hosea or Hoshea, depending on the translation, which means salvation. In this passage, it calls him Joshua, but we learn later in Numbers 13 that his name was actually changed to Joshua by Moses later on. So his name started out as salvation, then it was changed to Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. God saves. Now let me read just verses 8 and 9 as we start into this passage. Exodus 17, verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, first mention of Joshua's name, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Now we're going to spend several days on this passage, but let me just introduce it very briefly here. Verse 8, then Amalek came and fought with Israel. When was that? Well, following all that we've just rehearsed. And immediately following verses 1 through 7, where God had sent water from the rock to quench the thirst of these Jews, the Israelites had witnessed one demonstration after another of the awesome power and provision and presence of God. But they'd also experienced one trial after another. And you can imagine that by this point, then Amalek came and fought with Israel, the Israelites may have been thinking, I thought when we left Egypt we were being rescued from trouble. It looks like we've gone from the frying pan into the fire. It's one trouble, one trial, one problem after another. You ever think that about the Christian life or about your life? When I became a Christian or when I surrendered my life to Christ, I thought my life would get better. But look at all my problems now. How many of you have more problems now in some ways or bigger problems in some ways than you had before you became a Christian? Now, you have one significant problem less, and that is that you've got your eternal salvation established. But in terms of temporal issues, you may be feeling, I got bigger problems now. My health, family issues, financial issues, relational challenges. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. The children of Israel needed to remember, and we need to remember, how they got to Rephidim. How did they get there? Well, verse 1, which we didn't look at, when they first went to Rephidim, it says they went according to the commandment of the Lord. Why were they there in this place where the enemy could come and attack them? Because God had led them there. They were in a place of obedience. Now, there were other times when they disobeyed God and they got in big trouble for that. But in this case, the trial, the enemy, the opposition did not catch God off guard. It did not catch God by surprise. God led them there. God knew they would face these trials. This was part of the process, a necessary part of the process, of their getting to know God. God wanted to use this battle and other difficulties and trials to prepare his people to enter the promised land. So when you face opposition, when you face enemies that catch you off guard and come up against you, when you face trials, problems, frustrations, struggles, don't assume you've done something wrong. And don't assume negatively on God. You may be right where God wants you. The desperate situation that you are facing may be what it was for Israel, and that is one of your greatest opportunities to witness and to display the great power of God. And if that's the case, you will look back and you will say, Lord, I couldn't see it then, but I see it now, and I thank you. Father, I know there are those listening right now who are facing some major enemies, some major trials, some major opposition. And I just pray that if they are there according to your leading, according to your appointment, and in obedience to you, that you would strengthen and encourage their hearts. And may they know that this may just be a great, great opportunity to see you at work, to see you win the battle, and one that they will be able to thank you for and will be able to tell their children, here's how God moved in this way in my life. Help us, Lord, to honor you in the midst of the opposition and to trust you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Great perspective from Nancy Lee DeMoss. Whatever your crisis, don't give up. God is working in ways you might not be able to see right now. That message is the first of many that will be so helpful to so many women over the next months. Nancy is going to tell you more about it.
We've joined us for the first part of an extended series on the life of Joshua. And I actually started this study on the life of Joshua because I was in the midst of some battles myself, some changes we were going through in our ministry, and I was battling discouragement at points, and I just wanted to see how Joshua managed to survive and thrive in the midst of those battles. And at the time we recorded this series, I didn't realize how many difficulties would be ahead for a lot of those in our listening audience. Because in the months after recording this series, the economic crisis unfolded, and with it, a lot of other challenges and difficulties for many of our listeners. And many of you have expressed that you truly feel that you are in a battle on one front or another. Well, the life of Joshua tells us, no matter what we're facing, be strong. Be courageous. And over the coming days on Revive Our Hearts, I hope you'll take a careful look at the life of Joshua with me. His example is going to help you deal with troubled finances, with family stress, with anything else that may be causing you to be fearful.
Thanks, Nancy. One way to stop dwelling on fear is to fill your mind with God's Word. Nancy's written a book that will help you do that. The book, A Place of Quiet Rest, will show you why a personal devotional life is so important. As you read it, I think your hunger to know God through prayer and through His Word will grow. And you'll also get practical advice on developing those habits. We'll send you A Place of Quiet Rest when you donate any amount to help Revive Our Hearts continue coming to you each weekday. You can donate by phone and ask for A Place of Quiet Rest. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. We'll be making this offer one book per household for your donation through August 11th. Well, would you like to be delivered from your battle? Find out what the life of Joshua tells you about deliverance from frightening situations. That's next time on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.